without one plea. Concerned there for a moment when my fan wouldn't work. I know that we have a great and a powerful God today to depend on and trust in. And I do need your prayers as I stand before you this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I've been praying this morning that the Lord would just guide us to the place that we need to be. I've thought about many passages of Scripture. It's been one of those times that I seemed like I couldn't settle my mind on any particular place or didn't feel the Lord was impressing my mind to any given place. Particular place. This has been on my mind since getting here this morning, and I'm just trying to follow the best I can the leadership of the Lord. So you just pray for me as we look together at this passage of Scripture this morning. I know this is very familiar ground to all of you and things that I've talked about even recently, but we feel very much that that's what the Lord's laying on our hearts. So I'm doing the best I can to try to follow that as he would lead and direct. So you just pray for me. Appreciate that sweet prayer, Brother Bobby, and the spirit in which it was offered, and the humility. And that's a great, great blessing to be poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Scripture says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it takes God to make you poor in spirit. It takes God to bring you down to a place where you recognize your need of him. It takes God to give you a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We have a God who has so richly blessed us with a poor in spirit, a meek attitude, a pure heart that comes from the Lord, and a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And if you have those things this morning, it isn't what you have to get blessed. It's that which God's given you. You are blessed to have those. And we're here this morning to feed and to partake of fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're here to worship him. We're here to have communion and fellowship with one another. But we're here to honor and glorify the Lord and have communion and fellowship with him. And all of the circumstances of our life are in his control, in his care, in his watch care. He providentially is watching over each and every one of us. Sometimes we're going through life and we have so many ups and downs and so many trials and so many uncertainties. We often feel like things are out of control. We look at this old world and we could clearly say at times things seem to appear to be so far out of control and things seem to be going so far amiss. We're not going to anyway say today that God is the author of confusion, because the scripture tells us that he is not that. He is not the author of confusion, but God is the author of peace. We know that any peace that we have in this world comes from the Lord. He's the Prince of Peace. And the confusion that comes in this world is not the result of what God has done. That confusion comes from the evil ideas and thoughts and intents of men and us, being men and women. We all have so much confusion going on in us and so much that's contrary to the will and the way of God. This morning we want to not be conformed to this world as much as we can. We want to be transformed We don't want to get into the world and get conformed with it, thinking like it, thinking the way it would have us think, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which means we want to get our minds on the Scripture and have our thinking be like God's Word is, and have our thoughts like His thoughts, our ways like His ways, our beliefs like His beliefs, or His truth, that God is truth. And we know that if we know the truth, and we continue in the truth, we continue in His Word, and we know the truth, then we'll be free. The truth shall make you free, and he whom the Lord has made free is free indeed. And that is true today, and it was true yesterday, it's true tomorrow. For God's little children, it's absolutely true. And if I'm going to be faithful this morning as a minister, I want to declare that your trust and your dependence and your belief and your confidence might be in the Lord Jesus Christ, who cannot and will not fail. Now, I can't give you faith. God does that. He's the one who's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who gives you the ability to know that which only He can give you the ability to know. I can't give you the ability to understand and know spiritual things. I can preach the truth, but I can't open your eye and your ear and your heart. And thanks be to God, it's never been the minister's job or responsibility or within His power to do that. But we know that God is able. And He, as we stand in need of it this morning, as we come hungry and thirsty. I hope you come hungry and thirsty. You know, it's you dear sisters who prepare good meals, you know it's not very pleasant when you do the best to prepare a meal and folks sit down and they're just not hungry and they don't want to eat. My grandmother would get mad at you if you went to her house and didn't eat something. Always never felt like it was cooked well enough, but it always was good, and she don't want you to be a partaker. That's why I'm in some of the trouble I'm in right now physically, is because that was a way she shared and showed love, is I cook and you eat. That's your job is to eat it, my job is to make it, and she would get upset with you if you didn't eat, and you had to try a little of this and you tried a little of that, and trouble with me, I tried a little of that and a little more and a little more and a little more, and I've been battling that kind of battle along the way. But you can incline yourself in fatness in spiritual things. You can't get too much of this. You can't get too involved in it. If a man's going to be a disciple, if he's going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is to forsake all himself and all other things and put those things first and foremost in his life. The most important thing for you and me in our lives ought to be a fellowship and a communion with our Lord, and to feed from Him and His Word and get the instruction that you and I need. And it prepares you for this world. It prepares you to live in this world. It prepares you to face this world. You're not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. By nature, you were a child of wrath, even as others, and fit right into the world just fine. And the world went in a course that you understood in a way that you liked, and we got an old nature in us that reminds us of that old nature in us that loves the world and the things of the world, and yet we're told in the Scripture not to love the world, nor the things of the world. The things that tantalize the eye and that appease the appetite of man and that would fulfill the desires of the flesh. We were children of wrath even as others, and we went about fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were happy in that. And that's where we would have remained, died in our sins, and been cast eternally away from God forever in a place of punishment and wrath, which is prepared for the devil and his angels and for those that aren't the elect of God, and the eternal punishment of God's of those that are not God's children is just as everlasting and eternal as the joy and the blessings of heaven are for the righteous. Sometimes we miss that when we recognize what Jesus has done for us. We kind of don't understand all that He did in saving us. All that He did in coming where we were. All that He did in awakening me in this old world. All that He's done for me. And all He's done for you. And what a friend we have in Jesus. We sing it, but sometimes we just don't really grasp and really never completely grasp. And what I want to pray the Lord to bless us today as we grasp it more and more that we'll walk out of here. Brother Charles shared with me last night, we just need to believe in Him and trust in Him more and lean upon Him. We don't get in trouble when we trust in the Lord. We get in trouble when we trust in ourselves. We're not upset so bad when we turn it over and leave it in the Lord's hands. But when we pick it up and try to get it worked out and get it accomplished and try to do it on our own, we become very, very, very cold in this old world. And soon we're not fit to be around ourselves and certainly not for others to be around. And we are no benefit to the brethren. Was it Peter? I believe it says, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And brethren, we need to be our minds and thoughts and transformed by the Word of God that we can be of a benefit to our brothers and sisters and our family and our friends and those around us. And that is letting your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Here we've identified God's elect people that have been called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light and given a love for the Lord. Now today, if you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. If you have a desire to follow Him, it's because He's reached down in your heart and given you that hunger and that appetite. If you understand you need the Lord, that's a broken spirit that can only come from God. There's an evidence of a new birth that has taken place in your life. If you recognize I need the Lord, I can't make it in this world on my own. I need someone to help me. I need someone to strengthen me. I need someone to give me the wisdom. I need someone to help me not do things that would even be harmful to my own self. It's amazing how man has been on his own destruction. And we notice in this world, he'll eat himself to death. He'll drink himself to death. He'll drug himself to death. He'll get in the excitement of this world to the point that he wants so much of it that he puts his own life in danger and the lives of others in danger. Man, by nature, is a mess. And what we're talking about is you and me and all of us together. We need the Lord. And if it was not for the Lord watching over us, if He had not been with us from the time we were formed and fashioned in our mother's womb, if He had not been with us in those early years as we were growing up and all the things that we did as kids, if He was not with us in our teenage years, for some of you who are still there, the Lord's been watching over you, taking care of you all through that, continues to be with you as we go into each phase of our life and go from that place where we're about to leave home to go on our own into this old world that seems so big and so scary. And then we go through all the stages of life. All I know is as I look back on them, they really have gone by very rapidly. The OLD syndrome, as Dr. Brad says, has hit me pretty hard, and I'm feeling some of the effects of that, though I'm not old yet, sister. I'll make sure I'm straight on that. I'm on the way. I'm on the way. And I know this, that man that is born of woman is a few days, and they are full of trouble. And it is a great blessing today for me to grab hold to this wonderful statement in God's Word that we can know something, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The all things that are laid out here in God's Word that we're about to read about, and I'll go ahead and read those in Romans 8:29, it says, "For we know for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." God foreknew His people. And those whom He foreknew, He predestinated. God predestinated His people to be somewhere. He didn't predestinate them just for any old place. He predestinated them ultimately to be conformed. This is a conforming that's good. God has ultimately predestinated that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. Now let me say this. Everyone that He foreknew, God foreknew them. He loved them. And that word foreknowledge embraces God's love. I know y'all heard me say that so many times, but I want you to know that. So many people don't know that. I want God's people here and God's people that I speak to know that God's foreknowledge in this case and in Romans 8:28, His foreknowledge, Romans 8:29, is His love that was on you before the very foundation of the world. God had a love for you, an eternal, unconditional, everlasting love. And the amazing thing about God's love, as it is with God, He changes not. Our God will not change. That's why so many of the doctrines of this world simply are in error, because they have a God who changes His mind in midstream. They have a God who loves everybody, wants to save everybody, and then can't get it all done, and therefore ceases to love some of them, obviously, and casts them eternally away from Him because they wouldn't do what He wanted them to do, though He loved them. He had to eternally send them away from Him because they would not conform to what He would have them do. Now, is that what this text says? 1,000 times, no. It says that God foreknew His people. That didn't mean He knew about somebody. It means He knew individually, specifically, particularly, every one of His children. He knew them in depth. He knew the day you were going to be conceived in your mother's womb. He knew the day that you would be delivered from that womb into this world. He knew the day that you would turn 1 and 2 and 3, and He knows the days of our life. There's no one that ever dies and leaves this world and God turns and says, "Oh, I'm shocked you're here. You came early." Or one day late, where He was supposed to be here, but He's not here. There's an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. And it's reserved not only collectively for all of God's children, but individually and specifically for all of God's children. He foreknew them. He loved them. And there's nothing, according to the Scripture here, that can separate them from His love. Nothing. Not a thing can separate you from His love. Not your rebellion, not your hard-headedness, not my hard-headedness, not any behavior on your part. You can bring great harm in your life. You can bring great strife in your life, great trouble in your life. God will chasten you and will continue to chasten you and me in our lives. But there's absolutely nothing that will separate one of God's little children from the eternal Father that loved them with an eternal love so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for them, and He performed everything that was necessary to carry out His purpose of them being with Him in glory. And ultimately, that's where they will end up. Every one of you will end up there. You say, "Well, is He talking about me? Are you talking about me, preacher?" Isn't that what the Ethiopian eunuch said? Who is He speaking of here as he read from Isaiah 53 and he was searching the Scriptures about these things? And he said, "Who is the prophet speaking of, himself or some other man? Who was this that was led as a lamb dumb before his shearers and opened not his mouth? Who is this that was bruised for our transgressions? Who was this that was by His stripes we are healed? Who is this that paid this sin debt?" You see, he was saying, "I need someone to pay my sin debt. Who is it that would have done that?" I'm saying to you, it's the one called Jesus who loved you with an eternal love, as well as the Father who loved you with an eternal love, and the Holy Spirit, these three being one God, not three gods, one God manifests in three persons, loved you so much that absolutely nothing can separate you from His love. And also His watch care for you and I in our lives, every up and down, every bump in the road, every step in the way, God's providential care is here with His people. And whatsoever He works in our lives by His grace and by His power, works together for our good. For our good. Now, the evil actions of man, the evil thoughts of man, the evil intents of the heart, those things that bring confusion in our life sometimes do not work together for our good, in the sense that we are contrary to the things and the will of God. Many times, God in His power and His providence even overrules that wickedness and evilness, evil in our life, and brings those things out ultimately to work together for our good. Every action of God in our life, His foreknowledge, God's foreknowledge, God's predestination, God's calling, God's justification, and God's glorification, all these things work together for our good. They all work together, don't they? They all do. You see, whom he foreknew, them he also predestinated. And he predestinated them for a place. To be conformed to the image of his son. Now why did he do that? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, we have an elder brother. Isn't it good to have an elder brother? I never had an older brother. I was an older brother, not much of one. But I did know this when as an older brother, when somebody started picking on my brother, if I could handle them, I would take care of it. I do know I watched out for them and watched out for my sister best I could. There were sometimes I wouldn't. You know, older brothers will let you down, though. They'll watch out for you, but they will let you down. They can let you down. They might let you down because they just do, and they might let you down because they don't have the power or the ability to help you. They might want to do something for you they can't do. I want to tell you, in Jesus Christ, we have an older brother who has the ability to take care of you, whatever situation you're in, whatever trouble you're in. He was enough of a friend and a brother that he came and took your place. That punishment that you deserved and I deserved, he suffered the very wrath of God to be poured out on him. He came in obedience to the will of the Father. The Father sent him to save his people from their sins, and Jesus came, and every payment that I deserved in an eternity of hell was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree of the cross. Not one of them was missed. Not one of them were left out. And in that agony and in that pain and in that death, he delivered us from our transgressions. It's by his stripes we are healed. And that's the kind of God we serve. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us all things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given to us by his divine power. And all those things that pertain unto life and godliness, they all work together for our good to them that love God. Part of those are here. He foreknew. He loved his people. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And there are many brethren. God has a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. They're not based on what you did for the Lord, but based rather on what the Lord has done for you. I hope and pray today you are thankful that your salvation is not dependent upon what you've done for the Lord. Because if you understand, dear little brother Jason last night, I thought preached so ably. And he mentioned that 7th chapter of the book of Romans, which he said was one of his favorites. It was one of my favorites, I think, for it was one of his favorites. But when he got on it was so wonderful to remember what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And he was talking about a man who would do good and found evil present with him. He found a man who said, things I don't want to do, I do. And that which I find myself saying I won't do, I find myself doing. And the things I say I'm going to do, I don't do. Does that sound familiar to you? And even to the point I see in me a desire to serve God. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But then I see another law warring in my members against the law of my mind. In my flesh, I'm walking contrary to the things of God. That even when I would do good, even when I'm sitting hearing the gospel preached, even when I'm in the pulpit making an effort to preach the gospel, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. Does that burden you here in this world? I hope it does. I pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten you and enlighten me to more to see all that's in us that isn't just the way that it ought to be. Not in order to depress us, but to help us always remember, I dare not trust in anything but the blood of Jesus. I don't want to trust in anything else. Listen, my hope of being with the Lord in heaven is what Jesus did for me at Calvary. My trust in Him and what I would get in the day-to-day things of life by His grace are all by His grace, not based on anything that I am deserving or meritorious of. But I am. Now, does that mean I don't want to do good? Oh, I should delight and follow as much as I can after that heart He's given me if I indeed have it to follow Him and please Him. But listen, every blessing you get in time will never come to you because you deserve it. Sometimes we think, well, I just really didn't deserve this. And something bad happened, you know. I didn't deserve this. Why am I getting this? And when you ask that question, we ought to realize, what if God would pour out on us that which we did deserve? what a state we would be in. But rather than pouring His wrath out upon us, the Scripture says, rather than pouring His wrath, He's shown us His love. Rather than giving His vengeance and His wrath that He poured out on His Son, He poured that on His own Son so that He might freely and justly forgive us. So that the payment had to be made. Jesus paid it all. And if He hadn't have paid it, somebody would have had to. And I'm thankful to know that what Jesus did was complete. And I can, and you can, and we should rest in that finished work. Listen, nobody's fit to walk in the waters of baptism in obedience to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, but for the work of Jesus Christ in their room instead that made them accepted in the Beloved. Remember the Ephesian letter in the writing of the Apostle Paul. It says that you have been made accepted in the Beloved. Somebody says, talks about accepting the Lord. Well, if you put it in the right application, I understand the words that you're saying when we say that. But the reality of it is, it isn't us who accept Him. It's He who has accepted us. We've been made accepted in the Beloved. Not accepted because we did something. Oh, we did something all right, but what we did would have had us separated from Him forever. But He accepted us in the Beloved. That is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made accepted. Because of that, we can come and offer praises unto Him. We can come and sing the songs that honor Him. We can come and worship Him as we have today. We can read His Word and be fed from it. We can honor Him and praise Him and glorify Him. And when you get in trouble, you can drop down on your knees and say, Lord, help me. You ever get in one of those places where you just didn't know even what to pray? Don't even know what to ask for? Almost ashamed to ask for anything because He's been so good to you. Yet the good news is this, He maketh intercession for us with heart groanings that cannot be uttered. That's the mighty God that we serve. So for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. This calling is talking about the effectual calling of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit, where everyone that is His is called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. They are born again, born from above. Born again is not something you get to do for yourself. As a matter of fact, you don't want it, you don't desire it, you can't get it. Some people say, well, this, you do this and you do that, you'll get born again. No. The first birth didn't come that way, and the second birth, the new birth, doesn't come that way. The wind bloweth where it listeth, you can hear the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. This is the effectual calling of God that happens by His power and His might at His time. Not when mama wants it, not when daddy wants it, not when you want it. It's not according to the will of the flesh nor the will of man, but it's of God. Born from above, it's a new birth experience that can only come from God. Brethren, it's in that experience that God's little children are made poor in spirit. It's in that experience that God's little children are awakened to what a kind of condition they were in by nature. It's that when sin becomes really alive, when you really understand what sin is. Not that we haven't always sinned. We were born in sin and shaping in iniquity, but we had no idea of the trouble we were in. You ever remember a time in your life you felt like you were kind of okay? I'm about as good as everybody else. You know, I may have some rough spots, but I'm about as good as everybody else. But then when the Lord awakens you, you begin to see yourself from everything you do. You see, sin is mixed with all that I do. And if God would deal with me based on what I am right now, this moment, at this time, I would be eternally cast away from Him. And I could never say, God, you made a mistake. So much deceit, so much hypocrisy, so much vain thoughts, so much emptiness. The hymn writer said, false and full of sin I am. You feel that? Sometimes I, even coming to the house of God to preach to the Lord's people. You say, you mean preachers feel like that? I hope and pray they do. Because there are sometimes I feel so far from Him and so far removed from Him. I pray, Lord, just restore unto me. Give me some peace and rest. Even about my own situation. And oh, I'm so thankful at times that I can feel His manifest presence when I come together with God's people, it's a great encouragement to me. But you know, we have those high times and we have those low times. We're not always there. Now, am I saying to you that's a good place to be? No, it's not a good altogether place to be. But it is the experience of God's little children. John Newton wrote, "How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see." He also spoke of how when he felt the Lord, everything's okay. And isn't that the truth? When you can feel His presence. He says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified." Now, you can stand on this. He justified them. That means He washed them in His own blood. He didn't try to do it. He didn't hope to do it. He did it. Now, who is it that He justified? Those whom He called. Who is it that He called? Those that He predestinated. Who is it that He predestinated? Those whom He foreknew. Is there anybody added to this? No. Is there anybody taken from this? No. They are all the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. All of them are those that He called according to His purpose. To those that all things work together for good. To them that love God, these things work together good for them. Those whom He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world are the ones that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, are the same ones that He calls, that is, effectually. And that means every one of them. Listen, He called Old Testament saints. He called New Testament saints. I believe this old world will stand until the Lord sees fit to come again. And I believe that time will not happen until the last little air promise is called out of nature's darkness by God's mighty power into His marvelous light. And it isn't a tug of war situation. God didn't come to you and play a tug of war, hoping you would just come begging you to come. He came and said, "Live." And guess what? You live. He didn't try to do it. When the Lord blows His wind, you see these big tornadoes coming along. When the wind comes, I'm telling you what happens. Things get moved because that power it overpowers anything that men might put in the way. And they are as nothing compared to the mighty sovereign work of God's wind of grace that blows in the hearts of God's little children. He quickens them and makes them alive. And I pray. And you know, if you long, somebody would say, "Well, I hope that's happened to me." I know several little brethren that every time these things are preached, I'll talk to them later and they'll say, "Oh, I wish I had some of that. I wish I had a taste of that. I hear y'all's experience, but I don't feel like I have it the way you express it." I believe we all feel that to some degree. And I'm telling you, that's a great evidence that you have what I'm talking about. You were sitting there and saying, "Boy, he really is hitting my case right now." And that's me. I'm mighty afraid that Phariseeism and high-mindedness and haughtiness is in the way. Listen, I'm begging and praying and pleading to Almighty God to give me more of an assurance of what He's done. But get this, my being assured of it or my not being assured of it doesn't change the reality. If I'm His, I'm His. I belong to Him. It only helps me to know about it. It doesn't change who it is. There are many of God's little children at times who doubt these things and are concerned about these things. It's an evidence and part of what they are. And you say, "Well, then what do you do when they get that way?" You preach to them. You tell them about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that they could take the faith God's given them and place it in what Jesus has done. That's where you're going to get peace. If it's in what you've done for the Lord, you'll never have peace with that. But when you rest in what Jesus has done for you, there is peace, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It says, "Whom He called, them He also justified." That means He made them just as if they had not sinned. He paid the sin debt, paid it in full. We sing that hymn when we all get to heaven. Isn't that a good, won't that be a wonderful day when we get to heaven? Had a man one time tell me, "But not everybody's going to get there." Well, it's true. Not everybody's going to get there. Not everybody wants to be there. But I'm telling you, all of God's children are going to get there. You know who's going to be there? Everyone Jesus loved before the very foundation of the world. And that's an innumerable company. And you say, "Well, is that me?" Do you love Him? If you love Him, it's because of what? He first loved you. And when did He love you? A long time before you ever loved Him. And here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The doctrines of this world will tell you, you need to get into this. Listen, if you're not chosen in this before the very foundation of the world, you'll never want to be in this. You'll never have a desire for it. The things of God would be foolishness to you. But if you love the things of God and love the Lord and have a desire to be more like Him and even have a burden in your heart that you're not, even a concern that maybe I'm fooling everybody. Listen, I've said this before, but I'll share this because it's on my mind. I sometimes find God's little children worried about being a wolf. I feel like maybe I'm a wolf. You ever felt that? Like maybe I'm a wolf. And then I always ask this question. Do you suppose there were ever a wolf in sheep's clothing that didn't know he was a wolf? You ever think there was a wolf that's in... You know why a wolf's in sheep's clothing? Because he wants to get the sheep. He doesn't want them good. He don't want to do any good for them. He's not worried about having fellowship. He's not worried about green pastures and still waters. He wants to satisfy the appetite, the carnal appetite of his mind and his heart. Because he doesn't desire sheep food because he's a wolf. He's not a sheep. Do you ever suppose there would be one that would dress up and try to sneak up on the sheep that didn't know he was a wolf? He knows his intent. Brethren, if you're sitting there worrying about whether you're a wolf, it's pretty good evidence you're not a wolf. The good evidence is that means you're a humble little child of God who's burdened about, am I His or am I not? And the gospel comes to you and tells you if you want to be, that's a great evidence that you are and you belong to Him and you're His, not because you got it right, but because He has done all that was necessary for you to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And not only that, He's promised to take care of us here in this world every step of our life. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. The ones that are involved in the first, and you've heard me say this many times, you're going to hear it one more time. It's okay. Those whom He justified are those whom He glorified. The same number in the beginning or in the end. This is a wonderful purpose of God in saving His people from their sins. He foreknew them. He predestinated them. He calls them. He justifies them. He shed His blood at Calvary for them. He paid the sin debt for them. He washed them in His own blood. They are washed in the blood of Christ. Their sins will never be remembered against us anymore because of what Jesus has done for us. And we have the promise of eternal heaven. That's why we can sing when we all get to heaven. We're not going to get to heaven because I know the way. We won't get to heaven because you know the way. We won't get to heaven by our own power, by our own might. As a matter of fact, like an old brother said one time, when you die, if they don't carry you somewhere, you won't get to the cemetery. You won't get to the funeral home. When you're dead, that's it. And the wonderful news of this for God's little children is that He'll come to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and at that very moment of death, we'll see the most glorious thing we've ever saw in our life, and that's the wonderful face of our Savior, and we'll see Him in a way we've never seen Him with eyes that are really fit to see Him in our spirit, in our soul, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then our bodies are carried by men as they took Stephen's body, and devout men took him and buried him, and We know that body then will be in the ground, but it won't continue to be there because one day the Lord by His power is going to come with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and there's going to be a resurrection of the body. And somebody said, well, why does He need that body? Because He bought and paid for that body. And that body will go down in weakness, but it'll be raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. It'll be raised in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a day it will be. What a day it'll be when we all get to heaven. We'll be body and soul and spirit with the Lord forever. He says, He justified those whom He justified, them He also glorified. And that's a glorification of our bodies to be made in fashion like Jesus. Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? All these things work together for good to them that love God. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We look at this old world and we think, boy, it just seems like so much against us, doesn't it? It seems like there's so many things. You know, I think how just normal events affect my way of thinking. Just things that at one time I never thought. The things that have occurred. Little things can happen in your life and you don't look at them the same way as you did. You don't think. Just a little thing can happen and occur. And a big thing in this world has caused every little thing to change. But I want us to understand God's little as God's little children, we have a God who said, if God be for us, who can be against us? When Joshua was called of the Lord to go and cross the River Jordan and lead the children of Israel, he said, be strong and of good courage. And his promise to him is that he would be with him and that he would never leave him and that he will never forsake him. And that's exactly what he did with Brother Joshua. And I'm telling you, that same God has been with us and will continue to be with us. And we're facing this old world. Don't let the things and the occurrences of this world cause you to conform to this world. But remember, I have a God who's greater than all of these things. Brother preached it last night. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God be for us, who can be against us? I get scared so quickly, don't you? But if God be for us, who can be against us? I can get into that real quick, but I want to remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? Somebody gets sick, and I wonder how we're going to handle that. Remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? You have something come up on your job and you go like, oh, what am I going to do? Remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? You have a problem arise in the church and you wonder how we're going to get through this one. Remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? I come to the time to stand before God's people and I wonder, Lord, how am I going to be able to feed this little flock? Remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? As we go on in this world that we're living in, remember every day, if God be for you. And how much has he been for you? I've talked about how much he's for you. How much is he for you? He's for you so much that he came and died for you. He's for you so much that he loved you in covenant before the foundation of the world. He loved you so much that he's got it all worked out that one day you'll be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from that inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. And the good news is he didn't stay dead, did he? Yea, that is rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. He was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. He did what was necessary that we have every reason today not to be afraid. We have a great and a wonderful Lord. And say, who also maketh intercession for us. Brother Bobby made an effort to pray this morning. I feel the Lord blessed him in that. But if Jesus wasn't making the intercession, nothing would have been heard in heaven. Every time you and I bow our knees to pray, we'll never get good enough to send our prayers up. Those who feel like they can pray in the name of Jesus, outside of the name of Jesus, might think they can, but they cannot. There is no access to heaven's bright world except through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. That's why when we pray, we should, if we don't say it in our words, we should certainly, I think it's good to say it in our words. If we don't say it in our words, though, we have to do it always with the understanding that it's only in the name of Jesus that I can be heard. That's why when you feel so much like you couldn't pray at all, I'm not deserving of it, you're not. Remember, in Jesus' name, you've been made accepted in the Beloved, and you have access unto the Father. And He's pleased to hear you call upon Him. It pleases the Lord for His people to pray without ceasing. We're either going to be praying or fainting. Pray without ceasing and faint not. We want to be praying and looking to the Lord. He says, He maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I love this question. Shall tribulation, in some tribulation, is that going to separate you from the love of Christ? You're in trouble. Does Christ stop loving you when you're in trouble? No. That's when His love shines the brightest, doesn't it? It's when you can see it. It doesn't mean He loves you more, but you can see it. You can feel it. It's great to feel it in the midst of tribulation. Cast down but not destroyed. That's feeling His love in the midst of tribulation. Tribulation works things in our life. It even works at times for our good. The tribulation and that which God suffers us to endure. Tribulation worketh patience. It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. I'm telling you, God's little children are going to have some tribulation in this world. You're going to have some distress. You're going to have some persecution. You're going to have some famine. You're going to have some nakedness. You're going to have some peril. You're going to have some sword. You're going to have some needs in this world. It's not always going to go smooth. And you can say, brother, I know that already. Well, the good news is, does that mean Jesus doesn't love you? The answer is no. That doesn't separate you from the love of God, which is in the love, which is the love of Christ. He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Listen, that's God's little children in this world. They suffer in this world. They are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors. As we go through those troubles and those trials, yet we are still more than conquerors. How? Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what a glorious, wonderful promise that is for God's little children. Remember this. If God be for you, and how many times can we read, and how many ways in the Bible do we read how God's for His people? You are a chosen generation. He made choice of you. You are a royal priesthood. You've been made kings and priests unto God. You've been made kings in that you've been given the ability to be an overcomer, a conqueror. You have been made a priest in that you've been called to give sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A holy priesthood. A peculiar people is a purchased people. A chosen generation. Or a holy nation separated by God's grace. The work of God's Spirit in your heart separates you from the world. What a blessing it is. May the Lord help us to trust and lean and depend upon Him more and more. I do appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I love you, my brother. God bless you.